Hey everyone, it's looking light today. We'll g give it some time. I've been talking all this while and I was muted. I think we can get started. Shelley, are you able to scribe?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Good, good. We don't have quite number of people. So I worry about the input to this discussion. Yeah, we'll go ahead and start with something. So we want to talk about environment variable management today. My desired state or goal is to have a policy document for environment variables in our space, and also to add more criteria to our module evaluations so that we can safeguard that going forward. To help the conversation, I put in some items to discuss, but feel free to bring up other aspects to the conversation. My intent is to drill down on this until we have it wrapped up. So if we need to continue this conversation next week, Wednesday, that makes sense. So don't be shy about thoughts or comments. Any questions or comments before we start? Okay. Environment variables was one of the topics that was brought up in our shoulder meeting at WolfCon as an issue that is ongoing. The current state, they are naming inconsistencies. There are documentation gaps. And for some configuration approaches, there aren't standardized way to know whether something is required or something is optional. This is two that I'm aware of. There's probably more. I'm hoping that within this this period where we're talking about environment variables, we can source more inconsistencies from the community. And yeah, so I'm hoping those contributions come through so that we know where to go change. The first that I have listed is some modules use AWS underscore, while others use S3 underscore. So as a DevOps, SysOps operator, you would have a good view of these environment variables and the different variations of them that exist. System user variables, there is system underscore user underscore name, and then there is system underscore user underscore username. So how can we tie up those loose ends? For documentation, the readmes should have a list of the environment variables, to look up, but that is not the case today. Some modules have a good list, while most don't have environment variables documented at all. Of course, it's in the module descriptor, but even then, the description field in the module descriptor is not populated. Any questions or comments about the current state? Yes, Wayne.
I think from modules that are using common frameworks like the Folio Spring framework or the RMB, they inherit behaviors from those frameworks, and so perhaps they don't necessarily need to document environment variables directly in their README, but maybe point back to the source for documentation in the framework, assuming that things are documented there,
Yes.
which I know they are for RMB. I'm actually not sure about Springway, but it may be somewhat buried in the RMB documentation. Although I think there's a section. I guess if Julian's here, he's very familiar with that documentation. But anyway, yeah. I mean, so like the rather than forcing people to rewrite documentation, which then of course will get out of date if the framework changes, just point back to the source. I would recommend for those.
Thanks, Wayne. Yes. The if the base level environment variables are not just up out in front, for example, RMB, I can make it so and then reference that. My thinking is that these modules also have their own environment variables, besides the framework. That may not be documented as well, so they would
Yeah,
need to
yeah.
be
Need to be
space
both
for
for
that.
sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but I can totally see, hey, go to this, link for RMB, environment variables, and just track the changes there. Any other comments? Okay, so first up. Is naming standards and conventions. What naming convention do we want to adopt? The database and Kafka, those are consistent. So there was a foundation with RMB modules, and then Springway modules copy that. And generally, the DB underscore and the Kafka underscore is consistent. If anyone is aware of other issues, please let me know. And then the AWS one and the system user one that I listed. Matt mentioned one about HTTP port. Matt, can you speak about it for a little bit if you're able?
Honestly, I'm not sure if there's a whole lot to take away from the conversation, so much as just it's one of the many things where there seems to be just a million ways to configure it. Seems like every framework and language has its own different thing, so It might be kind of unique, though, because it's one that tends to be defined as part of the framework itself and not by the modules. And so I think we're almost necessarily kind of forced into a little bit of variety, but we might be able to have, you know, land on one common one and then figure out a way to kind of have all the million different ones pull from the common one, if that makes sense. Like, I know you can do that with Spring. I'm pretty sure you can do it with Go. I'm not sure about RMB, but yeah, in those cases, you can just say, you know, this framework is expecting HTTP underscore port, but we've standardized on server underscore port. So, you know, set HTTP port to server underscore port and then have it work. That'll work in some cases. I don't know about all, though.
Yeah, I think Julian, in that conversation, I think Julian said, you know, if that's a consensus, he'd be happy to make the changes required for RMB and whatever, maybe the Vertex, Folio Vertex lib.
And yeah, those inconsistencies, you know, if it's at the framework level, we can go make changes there. Later down the doc, I talk about migration. So most likely we would want to, you know, support the new way and the old way, maybe forever, and or maybe deprecate the old way at some point. But that the goal here is to provide a consistent experience for environment variables for operators on Folio is the idea. So without, you know, so let's say S3 AWS, you know, we should choose one prefix. It looks to me, so I guess let me step back. Is this the prefix we would want, any one of these, or even something totally different, because we don't want it to be, you know, AWS specific? Yes, Shelley.
Yeah, I was just wondering, like, wasn't there already a decision made about is it AWS or S3? I just, because it's always seems like it's either changed to AWS or S3 or whatever. So that's all.
Wayne?
Yeah, I Shelley, you're right. I think it's flopped back and forth a couple of times. And I think it's had to do with the particular version of the library that they're using for the S3 API. And so, you know, some modules used a version that wanted AWS underscore, and some modules used a version that wanted S3 underscore. So I think it would be fair for us to say, you know, I don't care what version of the framework you're using, you should use the same environment variables as operators, because it makes it insane to try, Kevin, and keep track.
Oh, sorry. Thought you were done. Thanks, Wayne. Kevin?
It might be possible to have us define our own and then map them to whatever the framework wants. That way, if the framework changes, we don't care. We change the mapping and not our use case in our environments.
That is fair. Yeah, and Shelley, yeah, that decision may have been made in the future. I'm not aware of that. Not to say I have my ear on all the goings, but the idea is that we have a policy document that clearly states that, you know, in our space, so that we can always reference it. Going forward, I know that we may have made a decision one way or another, but both still exist today. We can't mandate, you know, change to S3 underscore by this date, but, you know, we should have our policy set to say, okay, to configure, you know, maybe let's say S3 type things or AWS type things, use this only, and then the dev teams have a reference going forward. So I guess in for this specifically, Shelley, do you remember what was the last flop of the flip flop?
No, I don't remember. I think it was going to S3 and away from AWS, I think was what it was. But I guess one feedback about it is that I had this thought and now it's leaving my head. It's like, okay, AWS, it's useful to have v environment variables labeled starting with AWS because then as a systems operator, you go and you search your repo that you use to deploy the modules for that, and you think, oh, these are all the ones that depend on an AWS connection. But then there's also like, well, is it always going to be AWS, or can it be some other cloud storage cloud provider or other storage provider? I don't know.
Wayne?
To me, S3 makes more sense in this context because we're specifically talking about using the S3 API for cloud storage. Whatever provider is making S3 available to us, whether it's locally hosted or whatever, it's still S3. And sorry, I mean AWS also, right? Like AWS offers lots of services other than S3. So AWS is sort of a nonsensical prefix from that perspective.
I was leaning S3 as well. Exactly for the reasons you mentioned, Wayne. The dev teams or some non-production environments use, MinIO that provides a S3, interface. So that, lends to the different providers that can be available. And Kevin posted a previous meeting regarding KC on the and KeyCloak. So that link would be good to inform us, to have that one policy document versus going into specific meeting notes in a day. And yes, global S3 secret key is not ideal. Scribe notes that between AWS underscore and S3 underscore that we are going with S3 underscore. It might make sense to re review the meeting notes from the link that Kevin posted and bring that up in the follow-up dedicated discussion for this so that we can tie up all loose ends. Follow the history and come up with one document going forward. The other one I identified was system username and then system user username. Yes, Shelley.
There's also that's actually not all of
Oh.
them. which is why this is a problem. So, and but then also there's the issue around like the Eureka platform and this notion of no longer really having a system user. But yeah, I would like to see some consolidation around one.
Around between these two and the Eureka stuff you mentioned, or just between these two and every other variation of this.
Yeah, every other variation. I think there's another one. It was like Folio system user. I'd have to find where that is, but yeah. I didn't know that there was system user username. I was only aware. Yeah. Anyways, yes, let's have one.
One, okay. And any preference of one? I think, well, actually, my preference is not any of these, but because one has been established, I would go with system user underscore name. But I'm open to other discussions, other options rather. Okay. Let's go with system username. Scribe just report that. It will probably be a good, worthwhile effort. I feel, the sysops have better info of this. You probably have some configuration base where all of these environment variables are all, bunched up together, and I'm sure, it would be easy to see, the what looks like duplicates or, variations, and then maybe that list is what we can work with to then, solidify and standardize. Yes, Wayne.
The sort of side note that I don't know if this would be in scope, but I'm not sure that all modules allow you to set the system user's username. So some modules will just create a system user with whatever name they want to, without giving the operator the chance to set it. So that's just something else to consider. It's not exactly the same conversation as this. So I'm not sure if
It's
it fits in.
I think it's within scope. I wanted to add something like that to the agenda, but I didn't have any specific examples. But yes, there are some things that should not be hard-coded and should be configurable, and we can clarify that system username should be configurable for all modules. I think most modules will need a system user, so it could work, folio wide.
Right. I
Scribe.
mean, there are sort of security implications of, I don't know how this works in the Eureka environment, but there are sort of security implications if you say, oh, we're just going to have one system user and all the modules will use that, right? Because then you have a user that has many more permissions than it needs, and so if its credentials are compromised, it has a much wider impact, right? Whereas if you have, a system user that's just for mod bulk operations and just has those permissions, and it's compromised, it doesn't affect a system user that's used by some other module.
Scribe put in the notes that we want some configure no, they're not environment variables since they're not configurable, but we need configuration to not be hard-coded, and system username is one of them. Okay. I will go through that meeting notes that Kevin linked. I will see if there is an easy way to get all of the environment variables that Folio modules use. I think Okapi has a feature to set maybe an environment variable, but to override something like that. We see if that is possible. So if we have a sorted list of all the environment variables we have, that may be a good list to work with. Yes, Kevin.
Spring Boots automatically takes every settings like YAML application YAML settings and makes them expose as environment variables. For the case of this, we probably want to avoid those, and instead we could have a requirement that you can set the default to this other environment variable that will be our standard, because their application settings YAML file can have any structure they want, and you will have weird things like that system user username, because it could have a dot system and then underneath that it has a dot user, underneath that it has a dot username, which would explain such weird environment variables. But we can set it in the default in those to say the default is to use this other environment variable. And so we eliminate the confusion of Spring Boot's dynamic environment variable naming functionality. I think it would be important to make that clear so that way there's no confusion. Because right now we can just say, oh, just use this one, which is the Spring Boot's version. I'd rather, or at least I would propose that we specifically use the ones that we come up with according to the decisions made by this group.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm not as worried if Spring Boot exposes some, environment variables and operator happens to use that. But yes, having an environment variable regardless of framework would be good. I would like the standard, environment variable to align with our framework so that we don't have to, change it often. But that would be in the weeds, and we don't have enough information to do that, at least for now. But yes, that is a good point, Kevin. If there are no other environment variables, I'll move to the next question that I have. So do we grandfather? Yes, Shelley.
Yeah, sorry. I know you just skipped over the DB one because it is already standardized. But I do want to point out that for DB port, it is not always used. And in some cases, it is hard-coded as a default port, although a default port for databases. So anyways.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yes, so let's write that down, that similar to some system usernames that are not configurable, DB port is not configurable as well. That shouldn't be the case, and we should have that recorded.
I'll try to find the link. There was a Jira ticket recently about this.
Got it.
I'll put it in the notes.
Okay. Thank you for that. Do we grandfather existing variables or mandate migration? The options that I had off the top of my head, hard cutoff, deprecation, or grandfather it so that new modules align with that and existing modules. So, how do we think we would want to tackle this for our existing modules? What would be the preference? Yes, Wayne.
I don't think hard cutoff and deprecation are mutually exclusive, though, right?
Not
Right, because
necessarily,
we
no.
could set a hard cutoff and say, but there'll be a period of deprecation, so that modules have to comply with the new policy, but they also need to support their deprecated
Yes.
environment. Right.
Yes. Please state your preference on how we want to handle this again for the scribe.
Well, I guess I'm just saying that really the choice is hard cutoff or grandfather, and the deprecation period is a side note. Right? Like either we're going to tell modules to comply or not. And then if we tell modules to comply, then we need to address deprecation. So they're separate issues.
Any other comments on that? My preference would be to have, let's say, a module is using this and we standardize on this that the module is able to read both. Forever or for a duration of time. I hesitate to set a cutoff mark, but since what we want here is a consistent user experience for operators, as long as this exists, maybe this is fine not being in there. But of course, that can expose bugs if there are these many variations that imagine if maybe there's in the same module both are set at the same time, and then one doesn't know which value is used, although there should be some defensive code to say, oh, this is set, so I won't use this, or vice versa. So I support adding the standardized variables that we want and just keeping it like that. Anyone opposed to that or have any other options we should consider for existing modules? All right. Scribe, put in, how should we word this? Put support standardized environment variables as well. I don't want to put like, after two releases or after a date, but at the minimum, support the standardized variables. Okay. Documentation requirements. So, what is the minimum acceptable documentation for each environment variable? Mod user keycloak has a table in its README that's like this. It tells what's required, the description, the default value, and the lists of them. Not all modules have written lists of environment variables in their README. Is anyone in a it does anyone disagree with re requiring that info in the README for a module? And that will be stated in our policy doc. Is anyone against that? Yes, McAbee.
I don't disagree with it necessarily, but if you scroll down a little bit, you have the where it must be documented. And I think you were talking about it being in a machine readable location in one of the like requirements.json, or I'm sorry, I forget which file we're talking about. But I thought you were talking about a second place where some of this would be listed. And I guess I would be okay with it being documented in either human or machine readable format if we had a standard on one or the other or both.
I skipped to the bottom there in my thought process. Kevin?
I don't want to add more work to us, but it feels like this is a good opportunity to suggest if we have it in the module descriptor, we can write a tool that reads that JSON and outputs it in the wiki format you have described above and achieve both. And so you can say generate the wiki, then you copy and paste and drop that in your wiki. Because I think they each have their purpose. The module descriptor is good for the technical processes and doing all of that, but regular non-computer So people will want to just go to the README and read on the GitHub page and read that, and they're not going to be looking for the module descriptor. So I feel like we need both, and having a way to automate that would alleviate some of the extra maintenance of having to do two places at the same time. Of course, the extra work being that we'd have to write that tool. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Shelley?
Yeah, I just wanted to support the having it in a README format as well.
I skipped ahead. So let me dial it back before we talk about where it should be. I just put these items that we want. Is there any we should take out, or is there anything we should add, or this is not good enough? So generally, I've seen this four columns in some readmes. This maybe could be optional, but I don't know how many environment variables have like a enum, to them to say they can only be, this many values. And somebody could say actually the values could be in the description. So we don't need to add one, another column here and just keep it to the four. What do you guys think? Yes, Maccabee.
I mean, I think what you just said about the valid values being in the description is fine, but they should definitely be somewhere because often you see something where there's an optional parameter and the default is blank, and therefore you have no hint on what the actual structure should be.
Yes, Kevin.
It's not a big concern to me, but I figured I'd mention it. There could be landscape concerns if we added more than four. In terms of fitting on that tiny GitHub page, I don't think it's a big issue, but there could be some people that are used to writing their own documentation that might disagree or have an opinion. But I would also say it is, I'm not saying we should do this, but I would say another option would be to have a separate table for required and a separate table for optional. Then you would be able to eliminate a column.
Got it. Thank you for the feedback. So I removed that values and just kept it. We just keep it in the description, so it stays as four going on. And any if we had this across all of the modules, that would be much better than our current state. So let's keep it like this. So now to where it could be documented. I've seen some module descriptors that have description. I don't know if the module descriptors can store whether it's required or not. Maybe somebody could say the requiredness should be in the description. But that's why I lean more on the README, so that there is a it's clear whether something is required or not, and not have to be tied to the schema of the module descriptors. Yes, Wayne.
So just a little bit of history as to why those things are in the module descriptor. And I don't know how this is working for building snapshot environments in Eureka. But when we were building snapshot, and indeed as we can still continue to build Okapi-based snapshot environments, those need to be in the module descriptor where they are, in a launch descriptor section of the module descriptor, so that they are set when the container spins up if they are required, right? So that's why they're there with some default versions or some default values, so that the module will spin up in the reference environments. So, I mean, there, it's sort of a strange, it serves as documentation, but there's a technical reason why it's there right now.
Sorry, I missed the point. There's a technical reason why what is there?
Why these are in the module description.
Okay. Yeah,
Right? Like it's not just documentation. It actually has a it serves a technical purpose
Yes,
as
yeah.
as metadata that's used in our continuous deployment.
Yes, I agree, and I was aware of that. Yes, that is true. It's not just for documentation. This is this pointer say do we it's more likely that the total list of all of the environment variables that a module would use would be in the module descriptor, and keep let's and let's say okay every environment variable must have a description, and maybe the schema cannot handle required, so you put required in all caps in the description. That could be and then we keep it that way, and not have to add anything to the README. Or we can say do both, or we can say keep the README only. I don't know too many people that maybe use the module descriptor as a source of truth. Maybe not. I'm not too sure. But my feeling is that when you go to the README of a folio module, you should know what environment variables are available to you. So Shelly mentioned that she would like the README. Any opposing choices to that? Yes, Wayne.
Just thinking a little bit about what Kevin suggested about possibilities for automation, it would be, of course, much easier to generate an MD file that is like, nvars.md, and not have to figure out how to fit the table into an existing README. I'm not advocating that. I'm just, from an automation perspective, it might be easier to say, okay, our convention is that these things are in the module descriptor, and then there's a tool that generates this special file, and operator should the README should say, hey, to find out about environment variables, point to env, take a look at envvars dot md, and then have that be a generated file. That's a possible sort of continuous integration process that could happen.
Yes. I also think we are, I think it already happened, but maybe not, centralized a lot of the repositories to use the Folio's GitHub actions, these centralized ones, and this could be used to automatically on anything going to the main branch would, auto-generate this file.
Shelley?
Yeah, I'm totally not opposed to having like a automated way to generate a human readable doc for the environment variables. The only caveat is that when we talked about like deprecating some or having like a standard and then a mapping to ones that are coming from frameworks so that we don't have to change our environment variables. They're always like going to the standard. So tying the documented environment variables to being coming from the module descriptor, I like how would we make changes? How would you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I it's So the automation, I don't know who or where that who will do the work and where that we live. I'm not sure if the module descriptors can have a required field, or maybe we have a convention to put required in the description and go with that. It seems, so if the automation exists, I can work with that, but because I don't know where that work would come from, I don't want to bank on it and put that in the policy doc. Yes, Wayne.
I think it would be appropriate for the technical council to raise an issue in the folio. I guess they're called spaces, not projects anymore, but the folio space in the Jira, and assign it to the folio DevOps team. This would be within their purview to take on. And then you would deal with it as any sort of request. It would be dealt with as any sort of request where there would be an articulation of of requirements. And yeah, I mean, just like any little, I mean, this is not a huge project, right? So just like any little project, if that was what we decided, if
Yes.
we decided we wanted, like, that was the cleanest way to approach this.
So let's say we have a mvars.md. So using the automation approach, it means that the module descriptor would have to be shored up and all the info would need to be added there. Is that correct? So we would be saying the module descriptor, then plus mvars.
And I suppose a pointer in the README to nvar is just
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that, yeah.
yeah. Plus module descriptor. Plus. So the, okay, I won't worry about requirements of the, I won't worry about the requirements for the automation, but I'll just put it like this. Anyone against us going with this option here? Yes, Wayne.
So I just wanted to resurface Shelley's concern about if this was the option, how would we expect development teams to communicate things like deprecation and changes?
It would be everything would be in the description. So imagine you have two environment variables there. In the description, you can say, deprecated use okapi URL instead, and okapi URL would have whatever it would have. Does that make sense, or that doesn't work?
No, I think that makes
Okay. Kevin?
I'm fine with doing that, but I would also suggest you could also add another deprecated property to that if we're that concerned. So
Well, yeah, making any changes to the module descriptor schema is not something that I think we should do.
okay.
Yeah, in a different world, that's how we would go about it. But yeah, my preference would not to make that change, and then let's say we build the automation, and now there are some module descriptors that have the new schema or not. So yeah, it just can be hairy. Yes, Wayne.
I mean, technically, that's not too hard a change, right? I mean, if you add new properties that aren't required, it's not a breaking change to the schema. I'm just wondering about your hesitation. Like,
Yeah. Yeah,
is there a, is this a political hesitation or a technical one?
No, it's a technical one. Any code changes, it's one thing to say, okay, update readmes and things like that. It's another thing to require changes across module descriptors and things like that. Yeah, so we can write it down, but I want to ensure that our action items are easy to digest for the Folio community is my preference. There are more heavy-handed technical solutions that we could do instead of what we have here. I'm just trying to not reduce the code changes that we need to what is required versus what is nice. We can, you know, create a ticket for the core team to say add a you know add the extra fields in there and see what happens. But if I create a policy doc today, I can't tell developers to follow it until you know the work in the module descriptors is done, which I don't have control over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. It's also sort of a tricky thing because the module descriptor schema is part of the OCopy interface.
Yes, that too. That
Right.
too.
So I'm not sure how the OCopy, so it would actually have to be updated in two places in OCopy and then in the component of Eureka that provides the OCopy interface.
Yeah, that is a good point too. It's already if we choose a standardized environment variable, getting that environment variable into the module, you know, in a timely manner is, you know, is not straightforward in my mind right now. So reducing that burden is my hope. So I'm good with using a mvars MD. I'm good with having the information in the module descriptor, and I'm good with a Jira issue for ops for automation from module descriptor. Okay. So anyone against this really long option here? Thank you for all the feedback, by the way. So with that, the next point I have documented is mandatory and optional variables. So today, some modules fail fast on startup with exceptions. Some modules use default values. Some modules log warnings and continue with, you know, degraded functionality. Is there a recommendation that we want in our policy doc to say this is what we want, or this is how we want them to behave? Any preference? And if you have other options besides what's listed here too, that's fine.
I'd argue that if it's using a default value, then it's not a required variable.
If it's
Like if
okay,
there's a, yeah.
so it I guess it now depends where the default value is coming from. It could come from the module descriptor or the module itself. So if it comes from the module itself, then yes, that makes sense that it's not required.
I know I tend to fall on the side of fail fast and fail loudly for required things if they're not there.
Kevin?
Just for clarification, Does required or mandatory include setting them as empty strings, or is empty strings being considered not specified?
That would be a good clarification in our policy doc. To me, empty, if the mvar is required and is empty, it should throw an error, is my thinking. What do you think?
So a lot of environment variables act as booleans, but they don't need a value. And so if the environment variable exists, then it may mean something. If it doesn't exist, then it's treated as like a false, if you will. So it's different from application to application. And traditional environment variables use them as like booleans in like really low level programming languages. So it really depends on how we wish to handle that. But if we make too strong of an opinion, we might cause problems with these third-party infrastructures that we may bring in.
And a parse. But so I think we should set a path for environment variables created by folio modules. I hesitate to think how many of the libraries would expose environment variables if it's not like a framework that a module would then require to work. Maybe like the MinIO client or something. Yes, MacB.
I tend to agree with fail fast also, but I wanted to mention that we have this criteria with our module evaluation process that is rather vaguely defined, but it sort of implies the opposite, that we should be able to handle it if those systems are unavailable. And it would seem to be that the criteria not being defined would be one way to make those systems unavailable. So we may want to consider narrowing what we mean by that criterion, or something like that.
That is fair. I have something about additional criteria down here. We can ascribe, please make a note of changing existing criteria. And thank you for that context, Maccabee. I lean on fail fast, but if that is contradictory to something else, we should square that up. We are at time today. Thank you for your participation. We will continue this discussion, the next dedicated discussion window that is available. Thank you for your input. Any last thoughts? All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.